What's up, everybody? Back with another of your favorite dream shows. It's not live. It's going to be pre-recorded, but we do got Mr. Isaac here, Stackhouse, live.
I'm here.
In this moment, he's live from Coosa Jiu-Jitsu and Wellness down in Wetumpka, Alabama. How's it going over there?
It's going good, man. We just got our first full week of classes. We just got done with our 5:15 in the morning, or I just got done with my like 5:15 in the morning routine. What is it, 8:30? Yeah. So I'm experiencing those rides of like the things I've watched a lot of you guys go through. And I'm like in y'all's position now, is somewhat like, you know, having to like run the behind the scenes of like what keeps the school open and running. And there's is that
just the fun stuff.
Yeah. There's a lot of that, like, oh man, now I get the whole, you don't understand. It's been a 12-hour day.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's going great. Time.
Yeah. That's cool, man. I know we were over there for Mid-South last weekend, mm-hmm. and got to see the place. It's a nice setup, really clean, you know, pretty place with nice art, thanks to RC lending his talents to the community again. So yeah, that was really cool to be over there. I'm excited for you to have your space. I know that area is a little underserved as far as jiu-jitsu goes in general, so it's a great opportunity to jump in there. I do have a question though. I see when you jumped in the studio, the name said the Wandering Grappler, but are we going to have to rein in that name somehow, or are we going to be the Wandering Grappler now, or?
Oh man.
It sounds like we got some roots. Now,
oh
right?
Man. Okay. Yeah. I mean, the Wandering, I'm still a wanderer. I'm just going to wander closer to home. I mean,
oh.
All right. So like opening up down here, I, was opened for, like I came here to Wetumpka because I grew up on the river here, which is the Coosa, where the name comes from. So like my first experience, and I mean like not to get like too off in the weeds of like the concept, but, when I was a kid, I was probably like, I guess like 11 or 12 when I was learning how to kayak. And that was my first exposure to something that like, when you're doing that activity, I mean, you could die. Like if you do it wrong, you could die.
Sure.
And so like, it was the first thing that I ever experienced that was that like between the nature and the river and the like physical exertion that it takes to do it, it's that like transcendence like type experience of like, oh, like there's something bigger, like we're all like, there's all kinds of this connection and stuff. And you can get off in the weeds and talk about, you know, the river and feeling the power of the river and stuff, but like my idea was that, like you said, I mean, the reason I started wandering so much was when I started in the sport, one of my good training partners and buddies, Alan Manley, that was on the stream, told me, he was like, if you want to go anywhere in the sport, you're going to have to leave. Like, you're going to have to go somewhere else. And at that point, I was like in my like early 20s. I was like 20. So like, I was like, oh, well, you know, I've always kind of not liked being around here. The things I wanted wasn't here and all this type of stuff. So I got on the road and just started trying to find what it was that I was looking for. And what I've found, and that's like in my stuff that I've done with the Wandering Grappler, is that like I found all these people that were basically exactly the same as me, just like carving out their little space in something that was the same but different, if that makes sense. Like they were experiencing the same thing I experienced in my hometown. Like they had their like pitfalls and things that they didn't like about it. And it's like the ones that were successful in finding it, they just carved it out. I mean, like you and I are good friends with Brandon, and Brandon tells people all the time, he's like, yeah, there's nothing but jiu-jitsu here. But if you want jiu-jitsu,
jiu-jitsu there, yeah.
Here you go. And so it's like I kind of took that concept, saw what you did there in Perry, and just came in there and plugged in and planted down and just kind of watched the growth. And I was like, okay, I can imitate that. And so like, you know, trying to build that whole thing and create the community and give the thing, I'm basically creating what it is that I went out and searched for and just plopping it down right here and being like, I hope y'all like it, because this is what I found and it was really cool in all these other places. So let's kind of like recreate our own version. Mm. So that's kind of the whole like idea behind Coosa Jiu-Jitsu.
No, I think that's good and important actually too, in the world, you know, and in martial arts or whatever in general, you know, the artist, you know, is not necessarily creating the art for the masses or whatever, but in order to get over or to be able to survive in a business kind of world or whatever, you gotta figure out how to make it fit to where other people are gonna wanna do it and they'll buy in and they'll pay you for your art, basically, in mm-hmm. a way. And the cool part is that if you get to a certain point of learning in yourself, you do see that it's in everything, you know, kind of like you said about the water and the river and all that kind of stuff, man. It's culty. It could be super, like, it could super religious and culty right away if you want to. I could go there on almost every topic if I wanted to, about jujitsu, because there are so many similarities about life in general and, you know, practice and overcoming fears and, you know, adversaries and all those, you know, just everything that you could say about that stuff. But carving it out in your way, if you like it, there's a very good chance that other people are gonna like it too.
Yeah. Now,
that's not to say that the business itself will be successful. That's to say there's a lot of things that go into being in business that aren't the same thing as running great classes and teaching great jujitsu.
Yeah.
But definitely having that space for yourself, at least for me, has felt really good for my life. You know, learning the business side of it definitely has been harder than just being able to have my own space and be happy. Mm-hmm. But I think that comes with time, you know, that's those plateaus, you know, it's like, I just ranked up. And so now I'm getting my ass kicked a little bit and it doesn't feel as good, but there are improvements every time I go out there and I don't get the result I wanted on stuff. I'm learning, I'm getting feedback, and it's not making me want to quit or anything. It's making me just want to adapt and learn new techniques and put together the right ideas, you know, from smarter people than I am, and stop just relying on my own quote athleticism or the things that I think I know. And so, yeah, it's just that thing over and over and over again.
I had a thought while you were talking about that. And then I had another thought where, when you said that, is like one of the biggest like jumps I ever made was Brandon talking about like commentating. And when you're commentating, like, you don't ever want to say, like, this is what I would do. Like, you want to just help them play it out. And it's like, huh, well, that's almost kind of like teaching it to somebody. Because if I just sit here and tell you, and this could go like anything in life, like, if I just point out what I would do, well, you just look at me and you're like, gee, thanks, I'm not you. So, like, you make it for them and make it to where they can identify it as them and they can put themselves in those shoes. You're like, oh, wow. Okay. Now they start running the patterns. Like that. And then the thought I had before that was that I saw a transition today, and like one of the guys that's been training with me, because we've been running the warmups, and we had our new guy that was just complete random guy, like just off the internet, found us and came in and trained with us. And I didn't have to say a word. Like I showed the guy like the general idea of like how we were going through the Grambies, and I kind of showed him how to Gramby, put him on the wall, did the drill, did that whole thing. And then like I looked over and watched, you know, our guy like basically walk him through what we've been walking through and be like, okay, well now he's caught up to speed. And you're like, oh wow. Like I gave, like we put that in a position to where it was theirs. They've worked through it. They have identities, and they're like, oh, this is how I figured it out. And so they can feel it. And then you talk to them afterwards and they're like, yeah, man, that was almost better than drilling, like with somebody who was really good, because I got to like break it down in a different way. And you're like,
You get that feedback on both sides. And it's interesting, man, because we've talked about that a lot. You're leaning into the warm-ups, like the 10th Planet warm-up style of instruction and teaching. Which I think, you know, is pretty smart. It doesn't rely on you having to have all the answers and all the information. It just gives some best practices, some I don't know what the right thing I was trying to say, but like plays that come up often, it gives you a bunch of ways and reactions just to build into those situations. And now, is it the comprehensive answer to it? No, not comprehensive, right? That's just a good way to have a framework. And I think Eddie really messed my mind up when we were out at that clips, and he threw down the gauntlet and was like, just come up with your own warm-ups then. If you don't like the way that we have it set up, if you think that there needs to be more Kimuras, do more Kimuras. If you think it needs to be more side control escapes, then put more side control escapes in there. But you do it. Come up with your own thing. And I have been riddling my poor baby brain since then, trying to figure out best practices as for like flows.
Yeah.
And every time I feel like I had one, just something comes up. You know, there's just so much. You can't really, really have everything. And so I think it's cool to see that playing out from another, like from your perspective now, talking to you about how it's going versus with some of our students. Sometimes I've been thinking maybe that is a good, like beginner's style thing, and because they don't get it. They don't get what I'm saying. They don't get what I'm doing. But if I could just be like, just here's a system of movements that come up often, and then we'll come in and backfill more information in between the spaces there based right. on whatever's going on. But this is most of it, you know, and I say all the time, there's only like five moves. But
right. So that's
moves.
The guys that have been with me that like made the transition with me here, they've been running it for, I think we got all the way to E before we made the transition, and then I started back over. But they were probably at C before they were like, hey, we already did this. And I'm like, yeah, it's the same move, just in a different place.
Go another way.
Right. Yeah. So it's those guys that have already, like, I figured it out. If you can get all the way through once, they'll stop asking, yeah, but what if? They know that it'll come. It'll happen.
Isn't it? Yeah. Mm.
There is a what if, but not right now. And and what I really dug into, and I'm probably repeating this, is that which because like
all
most
we are all repeating
like, yeah I'm repeating almost, it but yeah. but the like my main like approach to it when I started thinking it through was that I wanted to take the names out of the equation for the beginners and for the experienced practitioners, because honestly it's easier to teach the warm-ups to somebody who has no clue what to do than somebody who already knows jujitsu. Somebody who already knows jujitsu takes an extra class just to get them to quit doing the other stuff.
I think that's true, though, for most stuff. If they
yeah.
If they have an idea about it, and you come in, like, you've seen it in the classroom, like, we come in and I'll have this new idea about something that I will, you know, trying to present, and everybody's still stuck on the other thing, and it's like, yeah, but that's going to fall apart, and then you got to go with the other, you know, so it's kind of hard to express that sometimes, you know, the new, like, is there's always other stuff that's happening in and around it. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, and it's just, there is no perfect way to do it.
No,
you know.
Well, and like I started like scratching my brain trying to figure out what to do and how to like structure like curriculum to be able to like talk to you and be able to track it and like tell how people are doing and figure out if they're getting better or like how they need to improve. And so, like, when we went to that Eddie seminar, it was kind of one of those things that I heard him talk about it, but it was like I was saying, I tried to take the names out of it. And so what I started doing was I would come in and I would, in the beginning, I would just show him the video and just like, all right, just watch it. And then I would now, like, I'll come in and I'll teach it by just showing it. I won't say a single name while I'm doing the movement. Just copy what I just did. Now, they're all probably, maybe one of them will do it somewhat right. But they all kind of do the movement. They mess it up for about half a class, and then they start getting the movement down. And then as they start getting the movement down, they get to positions and they have questions. And then when they have questions, they need to name the position they're in to ask me a question. So I'm like, all right, show me where you're at that you have a question. They show me, and then I'm like, oh, okay. This is this position. Now, what's your question? Oh, okay, well, if he goes that way, then you're going to play this play. But this is the play that we're going because he's reacting this way because he's worried you're going to do that because this whole system's built on the play back and forth between the dilemmas. And so it's always, like, there's always one or the other. I'm offering you an armbar or a triangle. Which one do you want to take? I'm offering you a back or a truck or a twister or a crotch ripper. Which one do you want to take? You take your pick. I'm going to take one or the other. So, like, that's where I've seen that guys now, when, like I said, then that guy can turn around and teach that system to somebody. Is, and by teach, I mean, like, guide them through class. Not
share
necessarily
the information.
Get, yeah.
No,
they
yeah,
can they
show and tell, not really
right.
teach.
Right. So like that's it's been with this first group, it's been about like a 3 month turnaround. In about 3 months, guys that didn't have a clue what the warmups were are able to talk through at least one of them because they have a favorite one. And
yeah,
that's me
really
just running one letter a day or like one letter a week. I could do a different pattern, but right now I'm just doing a whole week on one letter.
I mean, as you get going, you'll probably be able to switch off easier
yeah.
like that and go A day, E day, or whatever.
Because more people
like
know it and more people
They'll
can share. It. Yeah. But if I'm having to teach the whole room one, then I figured it was easier to push a whole week to get the whole room on the same page and
yeah.
then eventually go to the day by day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's interesting, really. I've been looking into it as an idea and maybe not a whole, like, you know, a holistic thing where that's what we're doing as a whole, but definitely have a section of classes that are designed around that. Maybe that's our fundamental sets or beginner class or whatever is like just called the warm-ups class or whatever, which is what Eddie is saying. And then you do the advanced training after with the live
right.
drills and working out
specific positions
your game
in those,
stuff.
Yeah,
you
right,
know. Mm-hmm.
right. It goes, okay, well, when we're here, so, what do we do for the exact moment type thing? Yeah.
And so it's just that thing again, if you just shut up and listen, you may have a idea that works already being presented to you if you'll just kind of chill out and let the people who are doing it tell you what's up.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy.
It's wild how that works.
It's weird. It's weird. You know?
Yeah.
That's the beauty of this stuff, though, man, because it just is what it is. And that's what I'm saying. Even, again, circling back to that, Eddie doesn't say that this is the way you have to do it. Nobody else has done it, though, so he's
no.
just the first one.
And it seems to work.
And it's like, if you come up with a better one, then I'll plug it in, and I'll say this one's better. You know, that's the adaptability of it all. Because if you
yeah.
look at the first warm-ups versus the warm-ups now,
totally
they barely resemble the same things a lot
yeah.
of times. So, because
yeah.
the game's changed a lot. And so
which I think that's a sign of a good system. You don't
for
want
sure.
a system that looks exactly the same in 10 years, especially in a sport like this that changes
well, it's always changing,
in months.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. No, you got to adapt with the times. That's what's got us to this point pretty much too, is staying with the times and not
mm-hmm.
falling behind or like being innovative to the point of like people making fun of you for being weird, you know? And I think that's an important distinction, you know, is that it's only strange because nobody else has done it.
It's only strange because it's different.
Yeah. Nobody's done it. That's what I'm saying. They don't have experience with it. So they're like, oh, that's weird. Mm-hmm. But in actuality, it's really solid and something that more people could look into. And again, do it with your own sets, whatever your sets are that you think are important, just come up with them and run them and see how it comes together. You know, I got a couple of them that I tried to run throughout time, and I just, you know, I'm not sure yet. Still, I haven't done the research enough, I guess, to feel so solid in my decision making that I'm willing to publish my findings. You know. But that's what I'm saying. It's like that's how serious I want to take this kind of stuff. Though
yeah.
a lot of times it's like
yeah.
I could put out some BS, but if it's something like that where you're trying to, you know, push up against, and not in a bad way, but you know, competing against the OG system of it, then you got to have a good answer. You got to have solid information. You can't come out there with some
half thought,
you know,
yeah,
because
yeah,
yeah. this has already been thought through, and there's thousands of people thinking this through and working
mm-hmm.
on this system now. It's not just one person.
Mm-hmm.
That's the he's allowed everybody to plug in and have a say. If
yeah.
it's working, it's working. If it's legit, it's legit. It doesn't matter where it comes from.
Yeah,
and I think that's what's really, really cool about it.
I don't by any means don't think that like I consider myself like having like mastered that portion of the system. Like it's more of just like I saw it might have been at our seminar. I think it's a clip I have out there somewhere of Eddie talking about the fact of like if you take you and your school and y'all run this by the end of a year, all of you will have mastered it.
You'd be at very least close, yeah.
In the first iteration of mastering. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like there's many iterations of mastering and all of us will have a different level of that because of our pre-existing experience. But so like this is also my own, like this whole thing is my own pursuit still. So like it's still my own pursuit to try to like learn the system, you know?
Right.
Like, so I'm selfishly. Just trying to, right. But I'm trying to take all these people with me, like, hey, look, I found this cool thing,
yeah,
and let's all do it. Like, and that, so that's really the idea behind all of it, is that like, I'm doing the same thing.
I think it's cool, man. I'm really hyped up for you and I really hope to see it, you know, flourish out there and really make a statement on that side of the country, if you will, over there.
Hey man, the Southeast, as far as 10 planets going, is kind of, I mean, we just got a huge influx of black belts out of the Sean guys.
Yeah, Sean just leveled up everybody that's been training under him since, you know, the OG days pretty much.
Yeah.
And gave out his first crop of six, I think, black belts. Yeah, so that definitely.
And most of them are all
That probably doubled the Southeastern, quote, black belt population of 10th Planet black belts, at least.
Yeah.
So it's definitely on the move here in a lot of ways. And I think a lot of people are adapting the style because they're seeing how successful it is in other places. So they're having to. And I think people's students are, they want the no-gi style more anyway because it's more popular in a lot of places too. So
I've really gotten no buck back on being no-gi.
A lot of people, if you don't train in the gi, you don't have, there's no like marriage to it. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people who don't have that, who grew up like us watching like the Karate Kid and stuff where they were wearing the uniforms and like martial arts culture like that, wherever, you know, stuff like that. Most people, you know, more UFC where they're wearing board shorts and no shirts and like stuff like that. Yeah, exactly. That's more people's
looking like He-Man speed back there.
Now. Yeah. They just didn't have it back then. You know, mm-hmm. there wasn't. So everybody just kind of did what they had to do or what was going on around them. And there's nothing, again, the gi, whatever, it's personal preference. I just think that this is the hot style now as far as no gi versus gi, not even 10th Planet versus whatever. It's just no gi right now. A lot of the wrestlers.
With the big move with the ADCC too, that's going to be,
I think that's going to change. Pushing it. I think that's going to change everything if they do it right. If they actually do it right and don't just switch once they get the power and start doing the same things where they're nickel and diming everybody for everything. But if they do it the way they say so without having to charge for all the rank and all that kind of stuff and belt promotions and everything, I think you'll see that really take over as the dominant style because it'll go right alongside more of the wrestling base in America. People can cross over and already compete, or they can be competing while doing both because the styles aren't that different.
Yeah. I hadn't even thought about that. That's going to make a huge difference for like collegiate and athlete and high school wrestlers.
It goes over right away.
Yeah.
Cause you're working on score and you're working on the takedown score better. If you're getting them on the shoulders, the
that's
passes
dope.
Work
now you're going to see some wrestlers starting to get paid.
You got to start coming. Yeah. You got to do all the things now if you're going to, and, or you can be in the gi and go to IBJJF and do those kind of tournaments. But for no gi, it's going to probably be ADCC style.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's going to even be more popular and may push out some of the EBI style matches and stuff like that because I think it's more broadly accepted of a style. It has the mix that both people can be kind of okay with and still has that point ending in the match. But I definitely think that more people will play it because it's just an already established. There's a world championships that's for it, and it's not somebody trying to recreate it. And so I think that's Eddie likes it, and Eddie's into it. You know what I mean? That's what put it.
No,
in.
I dig it, I do think that the difference, like the meta
grows,
the system
wants an ADCC champion.
you'll see, well, but what you'll see is like the difference between ADCC style and say like EBI style will become almost the difference that there is between gi and no gi now. Like trying to play an EBI game versus playing an ADCC game, I think it's going away.
I think that's going to go away.
You think it's going to disappear?
I don't think it's going to disappear, but I think that the matches are going to start looking a lot similar with the Molly Watt rules and the no stalling to get to overtime, stuff like that, because they're going to start hitting those ride penalties, and then nobody's going to want to deal with that, so they're going to have to keep the action going. And I bet that they're going to start pushing the pace more on people if this ADCC style, because you know they're hitting them with them stalls on the reg for ADCC stuff. Mm-hmm. If they're going to play it the way that they tried to play it this last time, where mm-hmm. they were just hitting people mm-hmm. like crazy for everything. I don't know, man. I've been thinking about that a lot. And I think it's – honestly, I think it is a better universal style than just the submission only, because it does still teach the takedowns and the pinning to score more points mm-hmm. rather than just a takedown and getting them down or whatever and just being in the position works. But you got to actually have 75% of their shoulders pinned or whatever to establish the pass. You got to actually do stuff to score. You can't almost do it to score. It's got to establish or it doesn't score.
Or it doesn't count.
And
then,
and that's like fighting.
Yeah.
That's fighting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
you can get close all day long, but like, yeah.
It's a closer self-defense style for ADCC than EBI would be. So like for me as an instructor who's dealing with the world now, more so than my personal, I love EBI style. I like the submission only style for my personal like flows and flavors.
I'm honestly okay with it staying kind of like at the level that it's at, like kind of like underground-ish.
I mean, it's a thing. I'm okay with that too. I just think... Yeah. I think that for the general public as a
whole, ADCC will fill stadiums.
My kids' programs, as they become adults, whether they stick with jiu-jitsu or not, they'll learn how to take down, they'll learn how to stand up, they'll learn how to defend and maintain positions a lot more if this is the style that we're teaching. And I think this is a style we can get into the school systems. Like maybe start presenting stuff to the elementary schools and middle schools as
start having like physical high education school teams,
curriculum. Like we can start leaking into the schools with that. That's what I've been thinking about. On the local scene, you know, selfishly for our business, how can we poach as many of these wrestling kids as we can? The ones that don't get to go to college maybe, or the ones that come home from college and are back in the area and want to keep grappling.
You can see professional wrestlers now. Mm-hmm. Like a real professional, like not having to be, you know, what's his name? Jordan
Burroughs.
Like not having to be that level just to get like a slice of the pie.
Right. So I think it's interesting, and that part has me really excited. I'm not going to lie. The potential to have our kids' programs link up all the way through like that in a way that'll be sustainable, and if we lose them to wrestling during the season, we don't lose anything overall as far as that goes, and then it all crosses right over to self-defense, and if anybody ever needs to go to MMA, they already have a really solid grappling style that they could use for fighting more.
And win fights. Yeah. Like, it's not like playing a... Yeah. Because
it's a safer overall style for the public, I think, to get comfortable with. It's just not as fun for most people because you're going to have to get banged around a little bit more.
I mean, it's like street ball versus NBA, right?
Probably in a way. At the lower levels, it'll all feel the same, you know?
It's all street ball at the lower level.
That's what I mean. So, like, the same guys are still going to win both tournaments if they're still having big EBIs. The same guys who are winning ADCC will still be winning a lot of the EBIs, I believe, because everybody's wrestling now. Everybody's got wrestling now. Everybody's got the leg locks now. Everybody's had guard passing for a long time. And so now you've got to be a complete grappler. If you even want to sniff the top levels, you can't be one dimensional. You can't
have one
style. You got to be able to do everything to beat everybody.
Yeah.
You can get far, but there's going to be the guy that has the thing that you don't, and he's going to be your arch nemesis, and you're never going to get over on him until you learn to wrestle, or until you learn to defend legs, or until you learn to guard pass, or whatever it is that you don't do as well as you know, Marcelo and Garcia.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's only been a couple of them.
Yeah,
right.
So
they have that. Yeah,
it's a that's why it's a long game, a long process, and I think it's gonna get younger. You know, we're gonna see this getting younger.
Coming in. I mean, if you have a kid that's been training in ADCC style since they were, you know, in sixth grade, and you run across them when they're 19, oh my Lord.
Right. that's where my mind went when I saw that, was that it would be a good system to use as a thing for everything.
I guess I gotta start working on my wrestling again.
I mean, again, just enough to know, right? Hand fighting and all that stuff is super important. Just enough to know.
Yeah.
You don't have
What does it do to the guard sitting?
Huh?
What does this do to guard sitting?
You got to have an active play. You can't just sit and wait.
So active play, is that like within hand fight, like I grab and I can sit with
They can just sit the first half. They can do whatever they want. That's what I'm saying, though.
Oh, you're saying during points.
Yeah, okay. Right. Yeah. Okay. So, like, if you sit and don't do anything with it, then you just wasted your 3 minutes. So you're going to have to be able to push me and get whatever going if you're the guard puller.
If I'm already sitting and it hits points, does the points take place?
All I got to do is pass then.
Okay. So I just took down some of the layers.
You don't get the negative if you sit.
Yeah.
Because you were already sitting, but then now all I've got to do is pass, and I scored my points. You've already given me the bottom position in a way too. So,
well, that's
it's not perfect, right? You got to time the pull then to where you're already down before the halfway point, which is kind of
so you'll have to be like, all right, 245 sit, I haven't been able to get him to his back, but he hasn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, so. It's going to be, there's going to be people that are going to be game. That's what I'm saying. Nothing's going to be perfect. I did the one about the rules on here a few weeks ago. And as soon as this becomes a dominant style, people are going to have a way to game it more. And people are going to be bitching about it and wanting it to change
some
back
other
to something
reason.
Else.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. I think
if we want it to grow and be as big as we want it to be, we got to kind of all agree on a rule set for the masses.
Yeah.
And if we're not going to do IBJJF, oh, you're fired.
I'm fired. That was very unprofessional.
Never have you ever done this to me, Isaac.
Never.
How could you?
It's been a long week, my friend.
I feel you. Those are the first things to go. But yeah, so I think if we could pick a style and a rule set that kind of we can universally get behind as no-gi guys or whatever people, then we'll get pushed over even further, you know, where everybody's like working towards a common goal instead of being like fractured between, I like the IBJJF style. I like the ADCC style. I like submission only style.
Yeah.
And they're all valid. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just whichever rule set you want to play into. But the
it would be like if you were trying to go play football at a local thing or whatever, and they were like,
you
oh,
only
no,
play
we,
7-on-7.
Yeah, we only play these rules, or we only play those rules. And you're like, well, isn't it the same sport?
No running. You can't run the ball here. We only pass.
We only pass. Know? And you're like, right, what? Exactly. Yeah.
Only run. That's called rugby, my guy. you know, but...
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. You just make it your own flavor, and then it becomes a new rule set. And if enough people get into it, now it's a thing. And I think there's enough people around the world doing ADCC style that it could be the dominant Olympic style more than the IBJJF and the gi style.
I never saw IBJJF getting off. Yeah.
Well, they just had the structure. They had the federation or whatever to set it up. But not everybody has gi grappling where they're from.
Yeah.
But almost everybody has a wrestling type system
of some sort
that they could learn to use to dominate.
Everywhere in the world.
Everybody
people
could do that,
wrestling
pretty much.
To some extent. Yeah.
So I think that's kind of the idea for at least my idea behind it. Some. I did want to have one thing before I got to let you go. We talk about it a little bit. I know you said you had some time stuff today. But injury stuff, like I know you've dealt with some injuries and you know that I've dealt with some injuries before. I want to, I guess first I can speak for myself here. Man, if y'all been following along for the last few years, I've been probably I've been dealing with like some back issues or whatever during that PGF season. I was really worried about making it through and being healthy. by the end of the season and everything. And that was why I was like looking more so at the other side of everything, because I, you know, it's like, it's just getting bad. And so I had been doing as much of the stuff, at least that I could, on my own, relying on my own knowledge and stuff like that. And then finally, man, I really took my own advice and went to the doctor and finally got like MRIs and or not MRIs, X-rays and MRIs or whatever to be looked at. And they sent me to a physical therapist, and literally in about 6 or 8 visits, I'm feeling so much better. Like, it's not really stiff and hurting every day anymore. Nothing's like, I just imagined the worst and kept myself in worse situations because I just assumed that it was going to be something I didn't want to know about. Finally just simple things, man, just simple little exercises, like the easiest things, are making me feel so much better every day, to where I'm wanting to do other things and not just like needing to just be still because my back's hurting, or I'm worried about twisting wrong because my back's going to flare up as much.
Stillness is actually the worst thing you could possibly do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm just, you know, I know that. And I just assumed that it was the end, though. I was like, this is the end for this me. Is, you know?
I need my little crutch. Turns out, did you know that in Star Wars lore, that little crutch thing that like Yoda was using was like a medicinal thing that the Jedi use? And he was just, yeah.
I don't know enough about it. No,
that's why he talks funny. That's why he talks like in riddles and stuff. My dude was smacked.
Got the hair on. So yeah.
Yeah. No.
So dealing with injuries, you know, overlooking stuff. My meniscus injury that I had to have my surgery on. Mm-hmm. That thing was clicking for a few years before it finally just went kablow on me. You know, and so same thing. That was several years ago. So just being proactive instead of reactive on these kind of things and just letting it sit and fester. Yeah. Your injury specifically, can you talk about how, like, probably that some of that was also not getting yourself looked at and getting checked out?
Yeah, I mean, there was my hip that was a couple years ago. I had a torn labrum that I was training. I was training for MMA. I was doing all kinds of things, and I can't narrow down. I think I've narrowed down exactly like when it happened, but like it was one of those things that like got popped in the middle of a practice, that then there was another practice after that, and I didn't slow down at all through the day, and I kept going. And at the time, I was training for MMA, and then I was training for IBJJF Worlds. So like back on our conversation of like, why was I training for IBJJF Worlds and MMA at the same time? Completely different objectives. But so I was trying to like stay, and especially with IBJJF too, like you have to like weigh in right before and whatnot. So like to stay at that like 173.2 or whatever at the time, I was having to run, because this is before I made my dietary switches and stuff. So like I was running probably like 7.5-ish miles every day. And so it turns out at some point before all that, when I started the running and the road work to be get ready for Worlds, was when my hip injury would have occurred. And by the time I went and got it checked after Worlds, I could barely walk. I was at my best friend's wedding, and like I see the picture from his wedding pop up on my Facebook sometimes, and I can just look at my face and tell how much pain. Like, it was so much for me to just stand there. And I thought, like you said, I was like, oh, I've bulged a disc. It's over. It's done. Everything's over. And then like when I went and got the x-ray, the doctor walked in and was like, well, it's not your disc, but God, your hip is jacked. I'll take it. I was like, so can you fix it? He was like, oh, of course, but golly, how are you standing? And so what had happened was that because the way that the labrum is, it holds the suction to keep your femur in the socket. And so like, as I was running, I was literally just smacking my femur into my bottom of my pelvis over and over. And so like, it ended up with all these like,
that's a terrible visual that just went through my mind. I'm sorry,
bro. Bro, it looked like, you ever seen the like maces, like what a knight would have had? That's what the top of my femur. Yeah, That's what the top of my femur looked like from all the calcium deposits. All
bent up and busted and shit.
So it was just in there, just meat grinding. Why are there
dents in my
So yeah, it put me down, and it put me down for a while. And I was able to like make a couple jumps in my jiu-jitsu. The biggest thing that like showed me was that I spent a lot of time on the side of mats during that time period, because I was like filming for people and working and doing that gig. Yeah,
that was pretty much right when we were starting to get together as a team.
Yeah. And so like I made massive jumps because I couldn't train. So I literally just sit there and watch practice every night. So I was picking apart, not only so like I would see a technique get taught, and then I would turn around and watch 15 different people do the technique. So now you can see all at the same time all the different mistakes that could have possibly been made, and then go through and checklist those off and go, oh, okay. Like, this is how you structure it. And so, like, as I was going through all those changes, I also, like you were talking about, really doubled down on my PT. Like, I did every single thing. I learned not to overwork, but there were certain things that I did, like, push. But like I did learn that overworking only just pulls you back in the future. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like you're just going to be further behind at the end by overexerting. Now there's a time to dump the
There's
tank.
A certain amount of really hard work that you should
that and you have to do yeah.
to do this recovery, right? But that's why for me going to this physical therapist, I wouldn't push up against the pain that I didn't understand. Mm-hmm. He asked me a question when I say, "Oh," he's like, "What was that?" And I explained it, and he's like, "Okay, let's try this real quick." And then it's like, oh,
yeah.
Okay. Maybe yeah. I've been doing that exercise I've done 10,000 times. Mm-hmm. I've never done it that way because I didn't understand that cue you just gave me.
Right.
And now that just, that's going to fix it. That's going to fix it because I feel it now.
Right.
I feel the strength coming back to that spot. And it didn't work the way I was doing it from my understanding of watching a video online or whatever without a coach that I can, I need a coach. I need somebody I can talk to that I can
trust.
Right. And this therapist is doing, he's doing a great job over at Benchmark and Kathleen. I don't get paid for that, but he's really been good to me. And, you know, I don't know. I kind of felt like they were going to treat me like I was an idiot. Like, why do you keep doing this stuff to yourself? But he's just been super cool.
Nah, he's
cool
like helping put you
that's,
back
it's
together.
It's all in my yeah, head, yeah, man. It's yeah, all it's yeah, it's been yeah. my fault the whole time. And that's what I'm saying, you know.
Yeah.
Like we think we do so much, and we try to uphold some kind of image or whatever it is that we're doing, or we're holding on to some idea about how it's gonna be, and we didn't really give it a chance to find out. You know, like yeah. you learn a new kind of like learning a new again. I can circle all this shit back to jiu-jitsu. Like you learned a new technique,
yeah.
you know, somebody
yeah.
shows you a new way to do, or a different way to do something. You could just stick your fingers in your ears and be like, la, 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 I don't believe in it. I'm not going to do it. Or you can sit down and listen to what the person who has the actual education in this given thing has and says, their experience. They've seen this. They've done this. They know what that is. Like
right.
immediately when I say this, he knew. You know what I mean? And when
yeah,
I said that,
yeah.
and he knew the next technique. He knew the next move in the flow.
Right.
And I was like, damn it. That was such – it pisses me off that you have such an easy answer, but thank you, because it makes me feel better that it's really easy. It's just going to be hard.
Yeah.
The answer is easy. The work is hard, and that's jiu-jitsu 100%. You can learn the moves, but can you apply them as somebody's fighting back? And they're not doing the same thing you're doing or whatever it is, you know. So, yeah, man, dealing with injuries sucks, but you got to deal with them the correct way.
Yeah, you have to deal with them. You can't just ignore them. Cause like
training through it is only good if you have something coming up that's going to pay you off. And you got
and even then,
payoff.
How much? How
that's
much
what I'm
is
saying.
It going to pay you?
It's
yeah.
got to be worth it. Whatever
yeah.
it is, there's got to
yeah.
be a payoff that's worth
you,
it.
Because you hear the guys step off these MMA fights where you're just like, man, you should have just prolonged it, but then also as I said that it like ran through my head of a couple scenarios where it's like, nah, sometimes you just tuck
you
it in the belt and
you
gotta do
make
it
the walk sometimes,
yeah,
and that's what I'm saying. It is what it is,
yeah.
And so
and I'm it's who saying, do you want to be,
that's what
do
I
you
mean.
Want to be the historic guy sticks it in his belt and goes,
And at what level though? You know what I mean? Are we right. in the amateur fight? I'm yes. fine. I'm walking yes. off. I'm calling it. It's okay. Yes. Are we doing a $10 million tournament or whatever? It's like, man, I don't need but one arm to do this. Or hopefully I can figure it out. You know, so definitely knowing that. And if you can't get to the finish line because of your body, then you're never gonna win anyway.
Then so all the things the
that
you
all the things that you want, they're not gonna come to you. And that's been my biggest experience with my knee, with everything like that. If I would have taken better care of myself earlier and not just went so hard to be the toughest, hardest, meanest dude in the room all the time, I would have been so much better by this point.
And probably happier.
I would have gotten further in my career in the things that I thought I wanted earlier on that didn't work for me because I was hard-headed and not doing the recovery, not doing the easy work on the side, not getting enough sleep, not getting enough hydration, staying up too late, doing all the things that I knew I shouldn't have been doing to be the best. But I thought that I was still good enough because I was doing good enough. But good enough is not going to help you reach your goals if you have the goals of being great. You got to do the great thing, and that's going to meet, see the professionals, and work on doing the best things for yourself and your body, your mind, all that kind of stuff. That was my overarching like message topic I was going to talk about today. But, man, I'm really glad to have you back in a situation that we can have these conversations, because I think I didn't realize how much it was helpful for me just to have somebody to sit and talk to. Like, I know this is like a show it's going out to broadcast or whatever, but just I love having conversations with people about ideas and stuff and jujitsu and then whatever else kind of stuff comes up, man. So thank you. Thank you for giving me your time again today. We're back on.
This. We out here. That's so, one of the things I wanted to tie in though is that like that I've added to my like recovery thing and whatnot. I know you and I've talked about this and you're doing your research, but dude, did you see me after I messed my knee up a few months ago? Did you see how bad it was?
Not really.
You
came through one time, but we weren't really like around each other.
And I didn't get to roll or any. Bro, I got my knee. I couldn't go up and down my stairs for like a week. And like, I just slept on the couch because I just couldn't get upstairs. My bathroom was upstairs. It was not a fun week. But these ice plunges and combining that with like regular yoga and stretching and mobility. I do weekly deep tissue. And then I've started doing the ice plunges daily. My massage therapist, who I've gone to her since like before my amateur MMA career started. So like she's felt my muscles all through all this stuff. And she was saying that like my whole like muscle buildup feels different. She was like, I'm not sure. She's like, I'm gonna have to do a few more sessions to really tell you. But she was like, the way that your tissue is accepting work is different.
There's not as much inflammation probably sitting in certain spaces where it was having to deal with that before you're moving it around now in places that you probably weren't when you were just relying on mobility and yoga and stuff like that. That cold is forcing your body to make adaptations that you wouldn't have to otherwise.
I switched to before, by the way.
Before class? Yeah.
I like it.
It's interesting. Like, and I haven't done any really, except for I do the research about it. I've done some ice baths, but never like the cold plunge where that's going to be different, I think, than the ice in a water situation. You know, I don't know that too much again, but I'm interested in it. And then seeing how it ties in with sauna and, you know, I do massage at least once a month. I try to go at least twice if I can, if I have the time and the funding to accomplish it, you know. I think that's been a big boost for me, and now combining it with having this physical therapist is going to really help push your boy back to the feel good stage of life probably. And I think this is probably where you see guys try to make those comebacks and stuff where they hit this, I feel better than I've ever felt in my life. It's like, that's probably a lie. You felt better than you do now, but you haven't felt this good in a long time.
You don't remember what it felt like at 21.
I'm trying to fight that bug in my head already. I had one good day and I'm like,
don't call it a comeback.
I'm ready to find a fight now. Where's he at? Somebody sign me up for some MMA here.
Hey.
No.
I heard Jake Paul was trying to put on some weight.
How much?
I don't know.
I'll do it for some money. Like, not some money though. That's what I'm saying. Like,
the right
I'm
money.
Not doing it. I'm not doing it for the funsies. Just like that kind of money. It's got to be the kind of money that'll be setting me up to not have to do stuff for a little while.
I mean, I'm at a stage in life. I do that for the funsies, but
yeah, we just.
I'm a little behind you. Yeah,
I've done. I've had that fun.
And yeah,
I've done that. You know, I just. I had to battle that comfort demon and get him out and start looking to be uncomfortable again and ways to push myself to be better and not just rely on all that old stuff still, you know, and start looking at new ways to do things because I'm not in San Diego anymore. So the marketing isn't the same. The business isn't the same. The people aren't the same. So I can't rely on all those old methods still. They are great in a lot of ways, but we have to modify and adapt some of the things that we do here to fit our constituents.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So cool, but yeah, man, much love to you, brother. Thank you for coming on. I will get this thing published up sometime, probably today.
Sick.
So we'll have one of these probably once a week. It'll be Monday, Wednesday, or Friday, or whatever day we decide. It won't be that live, so don't worry about it. Just subscribe to the Dream Show on whatever platform you have it on right now and just play it all night while you're asleep, just on repeat, just like keep it running.
Let us
a couple
keep,
of your, yeah.
Give you sweet sultry.
I need that 0.000015 cents per play that we get. Okay, it's really important. If you multiply that times a million, I can get $15. I'm just kidding. It's more.
I can buy a burrito.
All right, man. I love you, dude.
Peace,
see you later.
Dog.
Peace.